Sienna Mirabella, and you're listening to the Honey Soleil podcast, bringing you all things wellness for your mind, body, and soul. Hey guys, happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I am starting my very first Raw Talk where I answer your guys' questions from Instagram. I did this on my previous podcast and I wanted to keep this alive because it is, or it was, our most popular episodes when we would, me and my co-host would talk, you know, totally raw and just answer your burning questions. So I thought I would continue that on this podcast since you guys really seem to like it. And I just want you guys to get to know me better, hear more of my advice, maybe if I have something to say about a certain topic, but it's quick, it's easy. It's a big, good paragraph of advice instead of a whole episode. A whole episode dedicated to a certain topic. But if you guys want to hear more about a question that I answer on here and you want to hear more on that specific question or topic, then definitely be sure to let me know on the podcast Instagram, which is Honey Soleil Podcast. And you can also let me know on my personal Instagram, which is just Sienna_Mirabella. Again, everything is always linked in the show notes. So without me rambling, let's just get into the questions for today. Question number one is how to get over the initial fear of trying something new. I think that there is always going to be fear of trying something new. You can't avoid that. It will always be there. But the difference between people who conquer their fears and people who sit back is just like you would think, action. You have to take action. And depending on who you are and what you deal with mentally, it could be a really great fear or it could be really minuscule. The difference is the only thing that you can really do is to jump in. And I know that nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear a quick answer like, just do it, because it doesn't sound that easy. It's not that applicable, but it really truly is. And I think that you can tell yourself, you can psych yourself up before you do something, which is definitely going to help you, because the negative thoughts are going to spiral. They're going to become a vicious cycle. And it's going to ultimately lead you to not doing what you want to do because you're letting these negative thoughts kind of stop you from doing it. So what you can just tell yourself is, hey, everything that I do that's unknown, I'm going to be afraid of, but I can take that step and do something that's going to better myself. I'm going to feel good after I come out of this. And that's always what I tell myself when I'm going to do something new, because when I do something new, obviously the unknown is the scariest thing ever. Not knowing what you can expect is terrifying. It really is. The main thing I think is to be mindful. So you could be super anxious about maybe an upcoming presentation or meeting a new person, and you could be anxious for a week leading up to the event. But what really helps is practicing mindfulness. So that is kind of being in the exact moment and telling yourself when you're getting anxious, maybe a couple days before the new thing you're trying, tell yourself, I'm not in danger right now. I'm not anxious right now. Nothing is happening in this moment. So I need to take myself out of my future thoughts and just focus on the present. And that has really helped me not be so anxious like a week leading up to something, because it's totally fine to be anxious right before. Totally fine. Totally normal. But it will really be detrimental to your health and your mental health if you worry or are anxious like weeks in advance, because I've learned that literally does nothing for you. Being anxious, or, you know, your body thinks that it's protecting you by being anxious and thinking of all the scenarios, but realistically, it's raising your stress levels. It's making you kind of back out of things, because I have been so anxious for things before that were new and unknown, and I've backed out of them because of all the negative, anxious self-talk, and it's made me back out of these things. And I think that it's very hard to do. To practice mindfulness, it's a fucking journey. Like, I have had social anxiety since I was like in elementary school, and only now at like almost 22 years old have I feel like I've conquered it, and I feel more in control of my thoughts. And so I think that you can't really get over the fear of doing something new. You're always going to have that fear because it is the unknown. But what you have to do is work on your self-talk, work on the pep talk you give yourself before you do something new. Is it negative or is it positive? Kind of be aware of what you're saying to yourself before these events and or events, things that are new, anything that you're doing. But I think just telling yourself that you're capable, you can handle this, and giving yourself past references. This one's a big one for me. Is I always tell myself, hey, don't freak out about this one thing. You've handled so many more things like this, or even more anxious kind of, I don't even know the word for it, more like anxious vibes. You handled things that give you more anxiety. So why can't you handle this one event or new thing you're trying? I'm like thinking of events, but pretty much it's just like telling yourself, hey, you've handled a lot of shit. You're like 18 years old, you're 20 years old, you're this many years old, and you've survived up until now. So this event is not gonna make or break you. Literally nothing in life really makes or breaks you. It's how you perceive things. So I'm like all over the place, but that's a raw talk for you. It's just me all over the place because I don't write down my thoughts. These are unscripted, un-bullet pointed. I'm just having the questions and answering them. So again, getting over the initial fear of something, I think, is pushing yourself and analyzing what your self-talk is or what your pep talk is. Is it negative? Is it positive? And work on rewording your script to yourself and having more confidence and believing in yourself more and making sure you know that everything is not as big of a deal as we make it in our heads. Our bodies are fight or flight till we die, honestly. We are so stressed over so much when we're done with things, we feel that huge wave of relief, and it really wasn't as scary as we thought most of the time. So that's my like 2 cents on that question. Let's move on to the next one. The next question is, what are some things I can do to feel confident in myself again? This kind of goes hand in hand with the previous question, and I heard something on, I think it was the Skinny Confidential podcast with Ed Milette. I'm pretty sure this is the episode, I'm not sure. But anyway, I heard about how when you don't believe in yourself, or your low self-confidence really has to do with how you trust yourself. So let's say you tell yourself you're going to do something. You're going to work out this many times a week. You're going to do X, Y, and Z, and you don't pull through on it. You slowly decay at your self-confidence because you're not able to trust yourself. You're making like promises to yourself that are empty. You're not actually taking action on things you're saying you're going to do. So one thing to change is to make promises to yourself that you know you're going to accomplish. Don't make these big, crazy promises when you really truly know yourself and you can't, you know, achieve that right now. Take things really small. So I think to start to build up your confidence, start telling yourself you're going to do things that you know are manageable, that you know you can do, that are small wins. And by, you know, ticking them off the list and fulfilling these promises to yourself, you're going to build your confidence. You're going to be capable. You're going to think you're capable. You're going to trust yourself more. And I think that that's just, you know, that's key. Like when I heard that, I was like, I like paused the playlist. I paused the podcast and I was like, oh shit. That's why I've had such negative self-confidence, because I would make promises to myself that I wouldn't fucking fulfill. And it like shreds your self-confidence. So I think that's a really big aspect of confidence, is making promises to yourself that you know you can fulfill and not letting yourself down. Because if you think about it, when you're in a relationship with someone, or you're even friends with someone, if they keep telling you they're going to do something and they don't come through on it, you're going to think this person's fucking shady. Like they can't be trusted. Like they're just not that great of a person. That's the same thing with yourself. We act like we can treat ourselves so mean. We can just let things go with ourselves. But really, we need to treat ourselves the way we want to be treated, or how we treat other people. I think, yeah, we have a sense of worth where we think, oh, it's just ourselves. We can break promises with ourselves. It's just my own mind, you know? And if we treat ourselves with more respect and just, you know, more respect, I think your self-confidence will begin to be better. Because think about it, you're the most hard person on yourself than anyone else. If you talked to other people the way you talk to yourself, you would be disgusted. I think about that all the time. And so that is how I can work to retrain my thought patterns and like speak to myself in a nicer manner, an either constructive criticism manner or praise. I'm not going to yell at myself, call myself an idiot, and just be so destructive to myself. That's going to shred your self-confidence. So I think altering the way you speak to yourself and keeping those promises to yourself are two main ways to kind of build up your confidence. And also, again, I've got more to say on this, but confidence also comes with experience, I think. And I think a lot of people think confidence has to do with your looks. That's bullshit. Like, I am more confident in myself, in my experiences, and my capabilities than I am in my looks. I think that's very superficial. Our bodies are just vessels that our souls are living in. So it's so stupid, but we live in a world where there's so much superficial shit about our looks. So, I mean, it's very hard not to think of that. But to me, confidence also comes from experience. Like I was saying about trying new things and having that initial fear, when you put more of those things under your belt and you've been through a lot, you've gone through experiences, you have a lot of wisdom on different things, that's going to build your self-confidence. I can only use my examples. Obviously, that's all I have here. But for me, when I would get so anxious to either go somewhere, like I don't know what I'm trying to think of things, but maybe meeting new people, that would give me the worst fucking anxiety on the planet. But now I'm more confident in myself because I've done it so many times and I know, hey, Sienna, like you've handled this before. You know how to speak to people. You know how to introduce yourself. You know how to talk about yourself. That is experience that I have under my belt that gives me confidence. So confidence goes hand in hand with experience too. There's a lot of things that can build upon your confidence. So I think that just working on the way you talk to yourself, working on promising yourself things, and working on, you know, your experiences or building upon your experiences, those are going to really help you build up your self-confidence. I'm going to take a quick break and then I will get right back to you guys. This next question I get asked so many times, and that is balancing fitness, work, relationships, me time, and school. Is it really possible? Yes, of course it is. It is definitely possible to balance multiple things at once. And a lot of us have a lot of priorities to balance. And it's just about how you prioritize your time. For me personally, what I have to balance, so my priorities are work, which is YouTube, podcast, blog, and Instagram. University, I'm in college right now. Me time, so self-care, mental health, my relationships with my friends, my boyfriend, my mother, and my health. Those are the things that are really my priorities. And the way to balance them is to time block in your calendar. Honestly, that is my biggest tip, is to prioritize what are your top pillars of life. So for me, I just explained them to you. Those are the things that I need to incorporate on a daily basis or weekly basis, or I'm not thriving. And so what you have to do is go through your calendar every like Sunday, Monday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day you want to in the beginning or the end of the week, prioritize the main things in your calendar. So put in your calendar your work first, your school second, your self-care or your fitness third, your relationships next. Basically, how you prioritize things, put them in the calendar. So for me, I will look at my calendar and I will put in all the times that I have classes, all the times I have to do schoolwork, because I do account for that, because I do an online class in college. So I have to be, you know, I have to manage my time well. So what I do is I put it in my calendar first. So I'll put study sessions and coursework times in my calendar like an appointment, so that I know at like 11 a.m. on Monday, I'm doing coursework for French. There's nothing that comes in between it. There's nothing that gets in the way of that, because that is a set time. Because if you treat everything like I can move it whenever, you're never going to get things done. You have to treat things with the importance of a scheduled appointment pretty much. So you wouldn't like bail on the doctor's appointment. So why would you bail on something you put in your calendar as, you know, an appointment, a time? So then for YouTube and my like career, I'll mark when I'm filming my videos, because I like to film on, well, let me backtrack for you. I have a schedule for the week of how I theme each day, and I'll just run through that quickly. But Mondays are my get my shit together days. So it's the day I have classes. It's the day I start my schoolwork for my online class. So that's the day where I'm just like grocery shopping. I'm cleaning. I'm planning for the week. I'm planning my videos, planning my Instagram content. I'm doing schoolwork. That's a get your shit done day. There's no like videos. There's no creating content that day. It's just schoolwork and getting my shit together. That way that aspect of my priorities is taken care of. Tuesdays are all for online work. So I will go to The Wing, which is a women's co-working space. So I'll go to The Wing in LA, and that's when I'll do some more schoolwork, because of course I need to get that done. I will either edit videos from the previous week. I will work on planning content out. I will respond to emails. I'll edit podcasts. I'll edit videos. It's really a day where I just get all kinds of laptop work done, but in a nice environment. So I do that. And then I have family dinner with Dalton and his family on Tuesday nights. So that's kind of the day for me. I'm knocking out all that shit on Monday and Tuesday. Then when Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday roll around, that's when I'm creating content. So I'm actually filming. I am taking Instagram photos. I'm creating more content for my, you know, YouTube and Instagram. And podcasts too. I'll record podcasts that day. Podcasts, I kind of fit them in wherever I have space. And that's another key factor, is to fit in your work in your, or fit in priorities in time slots that you have available. So if I know that I'm doing something from maybe 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., but I have a break from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I know that I can fit things in there. So that's kind of how I structure things, is I fit any time slot that I have that's available that's like empty, I'll fit what I have to do in it. But I know myself and I won't overwork myself. So when I will never fill my calendar full. I will never do that, because you have to account for travel time, getting ready, having lunch, having breakfast, having dinner, just like chilling for 5 minutes, because it's impossible to go, go, go. It's just, for me, it's impossible. So I know that I'll give myself little slots in the calendar in between everything, so that it's not back to back, unless it needs to be, but it's usually not back to back, because I know myself and I won't be able to complete that. I just won't be able to do it. So I'm practical with myself and I know that I need little time slots. So figure out what you do, like how you work best. Do you want things back to back? Can you get shit done back to back? Or do you need to give yourself a little time? That way you could be more realistic with yourself and your calendar, and you could flow through your day and knock everything off your to-do list, because you prioritize correctly. You knew yourself and you got it. You got your schedule right. You basically got everything that you need to do in the time frame that you need to do it correct, because you know yourself. So basically, I will, like, I'm going all the way back. I told you the theme. Now I'll put in my YouTube work for the week. So on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I'll write in the calendar what I'm filming. And I know generally how long it takes me to film videos, so I'll put that specifically, the amount of time it'll take me, in the calendar. So those days I'm editing, I'm filming, and I put that in the calendar. So those are all, they're all appointments, because what goes in the calendar to me is something that's going to happen on the exact time that I put it. But then next, a priority for me is my mental health and my physical health, because I truly believe that the way you take care of your body inside and out is, like, it's going to emulate how you feel. You're going to be more productive. You're going to be more driven. You're going to work at your peak level because you're taking care of yourself. So what I'll do is I like to schedule workouts with ClassPass. You guys know this. They're amazing. I will book all my workouts for the week. That way it's taken care of. I don't have to think twice about it. I don't have to sit there and think, huh, what workout am I going to do today? Nope. It's already in the calendar for a specific time. That way it's done. It's accounted for. Putting your things in the calendar and giving them, like, set times is going to help you manage things so much better. And know your free time as well. So for me, I don't actually put, like, when I'm spending time with my boyfriend in the calendar, unless I have a designated, like, social event or social outing, I'll write it in the calendar. Like, if I have lunch with someone, I'll put it in the calendar. And that's another thing. If you want to manage your social life, find times in your schedule, either throughout the week, on the weekends, when you have free time, be like, okay, I can fit in a 30-minute lunch or 30-minute coffee with this person or with someone. I'm gonna reach out to my friends and see who's available. That way you're also managing your social life, and it's not so whenever, whatever. You're kind of putting in time for social life. And also, you can work out with friends. That's amazing. You're knocking out your health priority as well as your social priority. That's what I'm saying. Like, the basis of this is find slots in your calendar and put things in it. Put in your priorities. So for me, I know that for my boyfriend, for instance, it's really good to kind of, I mean, having too much structure is crazy. It's hard to do. It's not leaving any room for spontaneity. But for me and my boyfriend, we know that we skip Mondays, Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays in the week of when we see each other, because we just have to be, like, we just have to be proactive about, you know, doing things for ourselves, because we live close to each other and we see each other so much. But I need to make my self-care and my independent time a priority. That's why I say, okay, I'm not seeing you Monday, Wednesday, or sometimes Thursday. It depends on, like, if I'm clingy that week or not. But having kind of like a theme in your head, or like knowing when you're going to see your boyfriend, and like being not at someone's beckoning call anytime they call you, is really, like, liberating. And God, I sounded like a valley girl there. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's good to know when you can be independent. So if you want your self-care to be a priority, say to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever you're dating or married, whatever you're doing. Well, if you're married, you're living together. But anyway, you take and you say, hey, we're not seeing each other Mondays. I'm going to focus on myself this day. You focus on yourself. And that way you can take care of your self-care aspect of, you know, your me time, because it's really hard. hard. And I really struggled with this in the beginning of my relationship, with designating time for myself, but also being with him, because I wanted to be with him nonstop, but I knew it was kind of hurting my me time. And if you're independent like myself, it's so hard to get into a really committed relationship. And then you feel like you're kind of not yourself anymore. You're not able to be with yourself anymore or do the things you want to do because you're constantly with someone else. And so I think that taking a step back and analyzing that and then telling yourself, hey, I'm going to be with myself on this day. This is my me time day. It can be really helpful. So this question really is like tapping into so many different things, but my main tip for balancing things is just knowing your priorities, filling in your calendar properly, and just knowing yourself and how you work and knowing your time. Nobody knows your schedule like you do, so use that to your advantage. But yeah, you can definitely balance everything. You just have to be strategic about it. That is my number one tip for literally anything. It's be strategic. This next question is, how can you start becoming independent when you are very dependent on others? This, again, ties into my last question because I mentioned the relationship thing. But I know this very well, and that is being dependent on others. I'm a very independent person, but getting in a relationship, it kind of like, if you take things too fast, it can make you codependent. And I think the number one key thing for this is just observing that. Recognizing in yourself that you're becoming more dependent on others, take a step back and be like, think to yourself, like, do I feel my best when I'm dependent on others? Is independence going to make me feel more confident? Am I gonna feel happier when I'm independent? The answer is always yes, because I think in a relationship or even with friendships, you have to be two separate people with two separate lives who come together, make a great time together. You just have a great time. But you are, in the end, two separate beings. I don't think two people in a relationship should be one person, because you are independent. You're just sharing your life with this other person, but you're not one person. You guys aren't morphed into one person. So I think even if it pains you, make time for yourself. Take days by yourself without that person and learn to slowly be okay with being by yourself, because it's just going to train you to be better at that. Because for me, like I said, it was really hard for me to be separated from my boyfriend when we were first going out, and I didn't want to be separated. I hated it. And everyone was telling me, oh, you need to be more independent. You can't be around them 24/7. And that was something, I didn't listen to them, but you have to learn it on your own. So I was realizing that I never had time for myself anymore. And I was like, I don't like this. So forcing myself to be like, okay, I'm going to take Mondays and Wednesdays to be by myself, do my own thing. And once I did that more, it became okay. So the key here is practice and just, you know, trying to be by yourself more, doing more things alone and being okay with being by yourself, so that you are equipped for being independent. Independence isn't like something I guess you could be born with it, but like everything in the world, it takes practice. So you can train yourself to regain your independence, be more independent, if you just take things step by step and, you know, be with yourself. See how you feel when you're by yourself. Learn to enjoy hanging out with yourself, because that's who you're going to be with forever, is yourself. So you better become well acquainted with yourself and actually enjoy your time alone. So I think just, you know, keep trying. Pick those days that you have, you know, your self-care nights, or you go out and you fucking watch a movie by yourself. Pick those nights that you want to do what you want, and it's your time to do like anything that you want. So that's what I do. Mondays and Wednesdays are my days for me, and I love them. I watch Sex and the City. I do a face mask. I work on schoolwork, and I love it. It's so fun for me. So just make time for yourself and enjoy spending time with yourself. How many times am I going to say self? Take a shot. This entire podcast is just drinking games out of the roof. Next up, we have, how do you get rid of negative thoughts / negativity? This is something that I myself struggle with so much, and it is definitely a learning practice. I think that one of the things I learned actually in meditation classes, which I've been taking lately and they're just so helpful, is when you have these thoughts are okay. Any thoughts are okay. But the key is to observe them. So when you have a negative thought, realize it. Like, don't throw it away. Just be like, that's a stupid fucking thought. You're observing it. You're witnessing it. And you're kind of acting as if those thoughts are someone else, or it's another person. I like to call my negative self-talk another person. So I call her Sally, because Sally's a dumb bitch and we hate her. So I like to just observe my negative self-talk and be like, okay, here's Sally, you know, being a dumb bitch again. We don't love Sally. If you can just observe what you're, again, they say it more mild in meditation classes, but I'm, you know, the most dramatic crackhead energy person. So basically, if you can realize the thoughts you're having and be like, that's so untrue, that's so stupid, like, it's so dumb. Are you happy you said that, Sally? Because if you observe your thoughts, they're just thoughts. They don't become you because you're observing and you're telling yourself, okay, I had that thought and what? Like, it's just, it doesn't become who you are because you're not letting it be a part of who you are. For me, what I do is I revert to a different script. So if I'm thinking, oh, there's no way I can do this, I'm not good enough, I say the exact opposite. I tell myself very real but opposite thoughts to the negativity. So it's just positivity. And I hate fake positivity. Like, just say this or just say you're happy. That's literally so dumb. But being more observant of your thoughts and thinking the opposite of it and just working on having a more positive, optimistic mindset will help you. And another thing, gratitude. I know this is so cliche, but being grateful is one of the key ways to be happy and stop being negative, because you're kind of forced to realize, oh shit, I have all these great things in my life, small or big. Why am I being negative? It's so ungrateful. And so when you practice more gratitude, you're forced to be happy because, hey, I have these great things in my life. And I do not care what's going on in your life. You can't tell me that you can't think of one thing you're grateful for. The fact that you're alive is one of the most important things to be grateful for. Like, there are so many things to be grateful for. One thing that I like to do when we do Shavasana in yoga, which is the final resting pose, you're just laying there for like 5 minutes, basically meditating. What I like to do is I like to just tell myself everything I'm grateful for. I will just come up with as many things I can think of in those 5 minutes that I'm grateful for, and I walk out of there so happy. Because when you're more focused on what you do have rather than what you don't have, it's life-changing, you know? And that sounds so cliche and so annoying, but it's true. When you're happy with what you have versus what you wish you have, what you wish you had less of, it's, you know, I don't even know what I was going with. But anyway, because I got another thought while I was thinking. That's me for you. But anyway, another thing is crowding things out. So I've heard this a lot, is instead of eliminating things or taking things out of your life that you don't like, crowd it out with more positive things or more things that make you happy. That way there's no room for the things you don't like or the negative things that are, you know, causing negativity in your life. You're crowding it out with more positivity. So that's like a little tidbit on that. The next question is, how do you handle anxiety and how do you get out of really bad funks? Oh my God, I feel like I'm the motherfucking queen of getting out of funks, because I swear to you guys, I get in a depressive state at least once a month. I feel like I'm the queen of getting out of funks because getting back on top is one of my, that's what she said, but that's one of my best traits, is because I get down a lot. Believe me, a lot of people think my life is so organized and so healthy, but hey, I'm just like everyone else. And I might talk about these things because that's genuinely what I want to make my life, and that's what I want to help others with. But just like everyone else, I'm going to have a rut. I'm going to have a depressive state where I don't fucking want to take my vitamins and work out. Like, I don't. And the main thing here is to know that it's temporary. I would always have this problem of thinking, oh, okay, my life is back to being lazy. I'm in a slump. Like, my life's just going to be like this. That's so shitty to tell myself, because it's temporary. I've talked about this in my most recent video, which was like a Q&A life update. And that is that every single day is a fresh start. When you're in a rut, you can get out of it tomorrow. It doesn't have to be overnight, but if you take small wins and small things to get yourself back on the horse, you'll get there. So just start by making your bed every day. Start by taking your vitamins. Small, healthy habits to get you back on track, because it's extremely hard when you've fallen off the wagon of eating healthy, of working out, of taking your vitamins, of making your bed, of being productive, of taking care of your mental health. It is so hard to do all of that tomorrow. So like riding a bicycle, start with training wheels. Start with something small, and then you will be ready to finally fully ride the bike and be healthy again. But But you have to know that it takes baby steps. It's like eating an elephant. You take it bite by bite. Again, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because why would we eat an elephant? But, you know, that's the essential, you know, gist of it, is take it step by step. Know that, yes, you're in a funk right now. Yes, you're depressed, but you don't have to be like this forever. You don't even have to change it tomorrow. You can just work towards changing it. Again, working towards things is the most fulfilling part of life, is the journey. So you know you can handle it. You know that, hey, I'm going to take small wins or small steps every day, but by next week, I feel like I'm going to be back on top. Practice your healthy habits. Get back to what you know is healthy. And just know that it's temporary, because getting in ruts, getting in funks is so inevitable. We're going to feel that way. We're human. But the key is how you get back, how you are resilient. That's the key there. So practice more resilience and how you get back up after being knocked down. Maybe do some more research on resilience, because I've read a lot of articles on it. I definitely think you should guys, what? That wasn't even English. I think you guys should look up some articles on it. Just go on your computer, Google's lifesaver, love her. Just be like, how to be more resilient, how to get back up after I've fallen down. You know, not life alert, but like how to get out of a rut. Reading is the key to everything. And I'm not going to give you all the advice to everything. I don't know everything, but Google does. So articles, reading, research, your best friend. I love reading articles when I'm in a rut. It makes me get motivated. It's like, oh, hell yeah, I could do this. I could do that. And you don't have to change everything tomorrow. But know that if you take those small wins, you will get back on top. And that is what she said, you know? This next question I did want to answer because I feel like it's kind of important for a lot of people. And that is, do you wish you had a closer relationship with your dad? If a lot of you guys, well, I'm sure a lot of you guys don't know, but I have not a good relationship with my father. One thing that I wanted to tell you guys is that I have said this forever and to everyone, is that family doesn't matter. Like, well, that sounds crazy, but just because someone is related to you does not mean that they deserve your time or to be in your life. Because if they're toxic, they're gonna drain you. And just because they're your mom, your dad, anyone in your family, does not mean you have to incorporate them into your life all the time. Because if they're toxic and they're bringing you down, they bring your mindset down, they shred your confidence, they make you feel not yourself, you don't owe them anything. Just because you're blood, you don't owe them anything. And I've always stood by this, because so many people in my life have always seen my dad as this great person. And they're like, oh, why didn't you see your father? Like, you know, he's your dad. I'm like, okay. And has he done anything to deserve to be in my life? Has he acted like a father? Has he done this? No. Has he has he accepted responsibility for things that he's done? No. So to me, it's an easy answer. I don't care to have someone like that in my life. Personally, I don't want that in my life. It's more toxicity that I don't need in my life. So that's my thing. A lot of you might not agree, and that's totally fine, but this is my opinion. And the answer is no, I do not wish I had a closer relationship with my father. Next question is, how do you deal with being overwhelmed? Oh my God, I want to tattoo this on myself, because overwhelmed is my like natural state. And that is absolute shit, because it raises my cortisol and I fucking hate it. But being overwhelmed is so prevalent. Like, it is just there. And I think that when you take things really small, you take things small instead of like the overall picture, it's a lot easier to manage. So for me, when I know I have a huge day or I have so much on my plate, I take it like little step by step. So I work on things in really small chunks because I know that that's the way that I'm gonna get it done. And when you're feeling overwhelmed, the key thing is to obviously relax. So you might have like no time, but in the mornings, incorporate meditation, incorporate mindfulness, something that's gonna like relax you and kind of like hit the reset button, slow things down. It's gonna make you feel a lot better. And for me, when I'm feeling like really anxious or I know like I'm getting overwhelmed and I'm trying to rush everything, I will stop myself and take like 10 inhales, 10 big breaths, and I will think in like, breathe in peace, breathe out clarity. Like, I will just tell myself something like that and just stop everything and breathe for 10 breaths, you know? And it just kind of resets. It's like a mini meditation. It's not long, but it makes you aware that you're being overwhelmed. It's aware that your cortisol's out the fucking roof. It it makes you aware. So if you just stop, breathe, and go about things in a manageable way, I think that's kind of how you handle being overwhelmed. Next question is advice for people who didn't go to college right after high school but want to now. I've talked about this in one of my most recent videos, and I think that college will always be there. And if you rush into college when you're not ready, it might be wrong for you. You might get the wrong degree. You might meet the wrong people. You might just waste your time because you're not ready. I think that forcing yourself to do things you're not ready for are the worst things you can do for yourself, because life has a way of bringing things to you when you're ready for them. So if you don't want to go to college right now, don't. Like, you're 18, you can make your own decisions. Don't go. It's not what you want right now. But if you want to go back like 2, 3, 5 years later, do it, because it's always there. And that's what's great about college, is there's no age requirement. There's no age like maximum. You could be whatever age you want. And that's what I'm doing. I'm 20, almost 22. And I decided to go back to college because that's what I felt was right for me in that moment. So if you don't think college is like your thing, don't do it. Wait on it. Just don't go. And then if you feel like in a year or two that, hey, I actually do want to go to college, this is what I want to do, then do it. It's always there for you. That's what's amazing about college, is it's not set for 18 to 21. You know, you can go whenever you want. And I think that you shouldn't feel bad for not going right away, because a lot of people are programmed to think, or like the society is just mainly saying, oh, you didn't go to college? Oh, okay. Like, you're taking a gap year. All right. You're never going to go back. Don't listen to that, because, you know, it's not their life. What these people are saying absolutely doesn't matter, because it's not their lives. It really is bullshit what they're saying, because it's your life. Take things how you want to. Like, if you're ready for college at 22, go for it. If you're ready at 25, why not? You can. So don't feel bad for not going right away, but I would not like hold yourself back. Like, if you want to go, once you've taken your break and you want to go, don't say, oh, well, I didn't go for this long, I'm not going to go back. Go back. Like, it's always there for you. Have the opportunity and do what you can to go back to college, because that's what you want to do. So don't limit yourself. Don't force yourself. Do what feels right to you. The next question is, 21 and I'm still a virgin. I feel like I can't relate to my friends as much and I feel kind of lame. Oh my God. I was in your situation. I was a late like virginity loser. I don't know what they call it. What, like, I lost my virginity late, okay? Well, late to me. See, again, it's subjective. It's whatever you think it is. I'm telling you right now, people do not care when you lose your virginity. Nobody cares. I know that when you haven't lost it, it's all you can think about and you think, "Oh my God, I feel really lame, like everyone else has done it." Like, but I'm telling you, nobody cares. Like, I used to have this fear of, "Oh my God, I'm going to get into a relationship with a guy, but I haven't lost my virginity. What, like, what's he gonna think? Like, blah, blah, blah. Is he gonna wanna even be in a relationship with me?" That is literally so stupid, because when people like you, that's the least important thing ever. They don't care. They don't care. And I've found that guys, like, guys are gross, but they like it. Some guys like it. So don't worry about it, because I know that that's all you can think of. And I know you're thinking, oh, I can't relate to anyone, I feel lame. But it'll happen when it happens. It'll happen when you're ready for it. So instead of worrying and worrying and worrying, when's it gonna happen? Just like take life how you're taking it. Like, enjoy your life as it goes, and you'll meet someone that you want to have sex with. You'll meet someone that you like. When time comes to lose your virginity, it'll feel right to you in the moment. And if you don't feel right and you're pushing yourself or you're pressuring yourself to do it just because like everyone your age has done it, or, you know, you feel like you have to fit in with society, it's not right for you. Don't do things that are like that you don't want to do. I'm a big believer in never forcing yourself to do shit you don't really want to do. But if you feel like, hey, I'm ready for it, I can handle this, I want to do this, I want to experience this, go for it. And also, another thing on virginity that I absolutely hate is people always think you're going to have this emotional attachment to the first person you lose it to, and the first person you lose it to has to be someone you love. Bullshit. It's a concept. Virginity is a social construct, and it really doesn't matter. Like, in my opinion, and I think to a lot of people, it's so not that big of a deal. It's just, it's like just trying something new for the first time. It's like eating a new food. It's not this big, unless it's religious beliefs that you have on it, then go ahead, follow your religious beliefs. I understand. But if you don't have religious beliefs, it's not that big of a deal, in my opinion. Now, it can be really special. And your first time will always, you know, you'll always remember it, but it doesn't have to be with someone you love. My first time was with someone that I went to high school with, that that I just really liked. We weren't in a relationship. We were just hanging out. And I liked him a lot. I didn't love him, obviously. We'd only hung out like 5 times. Actually, honestly, it was on our second date. So like, whatever. Also, fuck that stereotype. But it wasn't a big deal. I don't regret my first time. I don't think, oh, I wish it was with someone I loved. Like, I don't think that. And I think that, you know, it's your life. It's your experiences. So do what feels right to you. That's literally the theme of this whole episode, is do what feels right to you and never force yourself to do shit you don't want to do. My last question that I'll be answering today is, do you talk to a therapist or a psychologist? I really want to make a whole episode on this because I feel like it's not talked about enough. Lots of people shy away from the topic of therapy and psychologists because, honestly, I don't know why. But I really want to do an episode on this. And if you guys want me to go in depth on this, like my whole experience, my thoughts, my opinions, I would love to do that. So just let me know in the comments, like anywhere you can reach me, let me know. But basically, yes, I've been to therapy since I was, I think, like 8 years old, 12. I don't even know. When I was really young, I started therapy and I never stuck with it. Like I would go to a bunch of different therapists, never felt anyone was right for me, never felt that my, you know, issues were being taken care of. And then I kind of handled things on my own, but I learned things from therapy. But when I went to a psychologist, that's when things changed, because I had always had this stigma, and I think a lot of people do, that medicine is like a cover-up. It's a band-aid. That's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard, because sometimes your depression, your anxiety, it's a chemical imbalance, and you need a little bit of aid and getting your hormone levels or your imbalances back on track. And that's for me. Like, I had depression literally my whole life, and I never knew that it wasn't situational. It was more chemical. And I finally went to a psychologist, because those are the ones that prescribe meds, and she was like, okay, we're going to give you this medicine. It's going to help with your anxiety symptoms, but it's also going to boost your serotonin. And I was like, all right, let's try it out. It worked amazing. It just helps you. Like, it helps you where you need help. And I think that that's about 30% of it, honestly. The rest is doing the work yourself and getting out of your mental hole, I like to call it, yourself. It's all about, because these therapists, they'll give you tools. They'll give you insight. They'll give you tools. But you're not going to feel better or work on anything unless you do it yourself. You have to want to help yourself, and you have to actually take action yourself, because they're just giving you essentially a book. Like, they're giving you a book of information, but if you don't take it and apply it, it's just passive information that you're gaining from them. You're not really learning anything. So again, medicine, not a crutch, not stupid, definitely need it. If it's something you feel like you need to function, go talk to us. It's not that difficult to just go talk to a psychologist. They can talk with you, analyze, and see what you kind of need. Like, maybe, you know, you have a chemical imbalance with depression, take something for that, a serotonin receptor inhibitor or something like that. I don't even know what it's called, but you might need help with that. Or if you have anxiety and the symptoms are just, they're just crazy, it might help to take medicine for that. And I think that medicine is only a part of of getting help. You know, the rest you have to do yourself, or you have to talk to a therapist, or you have to do research on your own, or you have to take action. But getting medicine, I think, is very, very helpful for some people. And for me, it was a game changer. So that's my 2 cents on like going to therapy, going to a psychologist. But if you guys want me to do like a whole journey of it in another episode, a video, wherever you want to hear it, let me know, because I'd be very happy to do that. And you guys can send in questions for it, all kinds of stuff like that. But yeah, that was the last question. That is everything that I'm going to answer today. I hope you guys liked this first Raw Talk episode where I answer your questions for Instagram. If you want to be a part of the next one, then definitely be sure to follow the podcast Instagram, which is Honey Soleil Podcast on Instagram, Avi. And I will periodically ask you guys for questions, and I'll let you know when I'm filming I'm recording a Raw Talk, so you guys can, you know, get ready for that. And yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode, or you found it a little bit helpful. If you did, please review it on podcast. Okay, please review it on podcast. I meant please review it on iTunes podcast, because your reviews are so key to me. They're so crucial. And I honestly love reading them, because they make my day. They make me so happy. And you know, that's how this podcast will grow, is I think reviews. I actually don't know how you grow on podcasts, but you know, it makes me happy when you leave reviews. So if you want to, that'd be super dope. And I do this thing called Reviewer of the Week on the podcast Instagram, where I feature one or two reviewers of the week. And if you want to link your Instagram so I can, you know, tag it, that would be amazing. And yeah, hope you guys enjoyed, and I will see you in next week's episode. Bye.